Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and I've got Liam Makawe on the line here. Welcome to the show, Liam.
Kia ora, Aaron.
Excuse the little bit of feedback there. There was actually a song that wanted to play that I didn't want to play. So there shouldn't be feedback when I'm talking to someone on the phone. Liam, you're a tattoo artist who's going to be at the Rankin Creative Market this weekend. Have I got at least that much right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I'm a tattoo artist. I've been hitting the road all summer, rainy summer. The season that's just been taking my setup to different festivals and marketplaces. And marking the masses all around the country.
Okay, and normally when an artist comes to the creative market, they bring some artwork with them to show people what they do. Obviously, I guess you can't bring... Well, it's a stupid question. You're not going to bring parts of people's bodies, so...
Probably some walking canvases, walking around.
Yeah,
some live canvases walking around.
Do you have like imagery of your art?
Yeah. So I'll bring images in, and most people just take a look online, kind of through the social media for the portfolio.
Okay, so should we tell people how to do that now?
Yeah, for sure. So the best way to contact me and to look at my work, unfortunately it is social media. I'm not very big on it, but it's kind of the way the world is going, especially for creatives to have like a free cheap portfolio. So the best my page on Instagram is Whaitohu, so WHAI.TOHU, which so Whaitohu, the meaning of that is it's to signify distinguishing marks, so it's meaningful markings. So that's what Whaitohu means if you break it down.
Yep. I'm just typing that into the computer now. Here we go. All right, that's good. Now I'm sorted. Now I can see what you do.
Yeah, and then through that page, there's links to my other artist endeavors as well, and kind of other tattoo styles that I get into.
Okay. So I'm looking at... Some imagery here. This is kind of different to what I've seen. I mean, I'm not a huge expert on the artistry of tattooing, but there's some imagery here that looks different to what I've seen in the past.
It's very my road that I went down is when I started tattooing, it was very contemporary, and I'd say commercial. Like, I was using a machine at the start for about 3 years, and then went on a journey of kind of self-discovery through my own whakapapa, connecting back to my heritage, and just in doing that, learned about different art forms and how different indigenous practices around the world will do it, and just sitting with them and talking and learning and listening, I really soaked up the importance of going back to our traditions, especially with techniques. So I don't use any machine. It's all by hand. All of my designs. So it's like I'm stepping backwards, going backwards rather than moving forward with technology. Bearing it right back to the basics, where it's just me and the client without any of the gears in the way. So all of my designs that I come up with is, like, I'll sit with a client and they'll tell me their stories, and then we'll kind of connect it to something to do with the natural world, the living world, the spiritual, because all three of those is what connects us all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my main base with my hand poke studies is Māori design, like tamoko, which is, at the moment, I'm getting all of my... research and imagery through old weaving patterns.
Interesting.
So instead of coming from whakaero, which is carving, which is the more curvature patterns, we're doing more geometric shapes, more linear patterns, which is quite funny because people see them and they say, oh, wow, this is, I've never seen this, is quite new, isn't it? But it's actually going backwards.
Yeah, it's not new at all.
Yeah. It's just reviving it all and keeping the kōrero alive, not much people talk about that. Tamoko hasn't, we've only just got grips of it back recently, you know.
Yeah.
Got stolen from us, taken, and so it's not a very a topic that people want to go into. So going backwards on the designs sometimes can be difficult.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the phrase you used to describe the technique?
So faitahu.
And you used the word poke?
Ah, yeah, hand poke. So
hand poke, okay. So
like, yeah, because there's a lot of different variations of it, and now when people think of hand poke, they, like, unfortunately, again, it's just gone as far away from it as it can from the indigenous practices where it kind of belonged, you know?
Yep.
When you look up hand poke now, most people think it's just like something that you start off doing to practice because you don't really know, or it's like a home style thing.
Yeah,
a big part of it was to reclaim as well, to show people now this is a profession.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks beautiful. Like what I'm looking at here just on the start of your Instagram. And it is, I think I focused on the hand poke phrase because there's a lot of just dots, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it, which gives it a whole different vibe than I've seen with a lot of other tattoo in the past.
Yeah, that's it. It's pointillism. Like at the start, I spent a lot of my time making my hand poke style tattoos look like my machine work, which was, you know, the machine work is what we're trying to get is perfect, eh? And
yeah,
after sitting with the indigenous brothers and sisters, they kind of laughed at me and yeah, we're like, why are you making it perfect? Why are you making it that perfect for? Because you know, things done by hand, it shouldn't be perfect. It should be authentic. People should be able to tell that it's done by hand. So I spent a long time again after that relearning how to make that, because it's easy to just stab someone, get some dots on them, but it's hard to execute it and make it look well. And yeah, now I can really see the importance of making it look like it's etched into the skin, you know, making it look ancient.
Yeah. Does it take quite a long time? I'm counting dots here. And
yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, I'll say it's lucky I don't charge per dot.
Yeah.
So it really depends. If we can go as fast or as slow as we want, I tend to slow it right down because, again, the tattooing that I'm doing is for the person, right? It's for their story. It's for their connection.
Yeah.
I'm just the person that's wiping the skin and helping them reveal it. And half the time, I've seen people come in and get, you know, a little meaningful tattoo that is real special to them, and it's over within 5 minutes because, you know, it's just fast to deal with the machine. So it's quite nice to slow it down.
Yeah.
I slow it down. I tell people if they need to be somewhere, then let me know. We can get it done as fast as you want. So, for the markets, we'll just be offering smaller designs,
yeah,
which we've already got, and none of them will take more than half an hour.
Okay. But if someone meets you and wants something a little more serious, can you set up a time for that?
Yeah. Yeah, set up the big time for that. So, I like to, especially with big tattoos, we like to do it in the sense of wānanga. Open learning, you know,
yeah.
So we'll have them come into our space and invite whānau and friends and kind of make it more of a few days long rather than a day,
right.
Just to spread it out, and we sit together, we have kai together and kōrero, and it makes more of that connection.
That's a vastly different approach than, I guess, culturally in the West, tattoos were kind of a thing of rebellion.
Yeah.
And I might be doing, and that might be an injustice, me putting it like that, but that's kind of something I'm familiar with.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, now we can't really rebel by getting tattoos because everyone has tattoos.
yeah.
It's more rebellious if you don't have one. But, yeah, it is. Like, I've been in the tattoo industry for, like, 7 years now in total, and I've kind of done all sides of the tattooing.
Yeah.
It was, you know, where I went through, cool, commercial, I'm just going to be busy, tattoo whatever anyone wants, no meaning involved, to just trying to better my art, to now where I'm paired it right back, where, yeah, it's less about the the art that I'm doing and more about the person receiving.
Yeah. Did you end up in the situation where some people got drunk on a night out and they wanted you to do a tattoo?
Yeah, with, especially with the, gosh, taking it around to the festivals and that, I've had to stop tattooing for some people because it just gets too crazy. When alcohol's involved,
yeah,
it's not nice that, well, for one, we're dealing with blood, you know, blood's sacred. It's your direct link to your whakapapa, and then we're in there just, people are just drunk, and it's just not the same.
Right.
Not the same understanding. Some people can, you know, there's, yeah, I don't think alcohol and tattooing mixes, to be honest.
So you would turn people away?
Yeah, turn people away. And I say to them, and, you know, the kōrero, the conversation that comes from it when I turn them away is usually quite aggressive or quite, you know, oh, come on, I'll give you $200, I'll do this and that. And that's when I don't want to do them even more because they're completely missing the point of why I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like disregarding the whole practice, and it's too hoha for us to sit there and try to explain to this person. Like, I don't need to try to explain to them about meaning, like they can find it for themselves.
Yeah,
it's quite a tricky one when alcohol is. So doing the festivals has been real interesting and real testy at times, for sure.
You almost need a bouncer.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it usually gets pretty full because the way that when I've been taking it around to festivals is setting up a bell tent, like a little yurt.
Yeah,
like a teepee. So if it's all on the ground and everyone's seated, you know, someone, when they come in with a different energy, it's usually, pretty picked on. I guess the people that are sitting in the space are like the bouncers.
Yeah.
They sit with me for long enough and hear the kaupapa and the kōrero and hear what goes around, so they can kind of sit there and just tell people, which is real nice.
Well, sounds like you've created the space, and that's what's doing it.
Yeah, it is. It took a while to get there because, again, at the start of the festive season, I thought, cool, here's my opportunity to go spread my art so people can see my work. So, you know, again, it was all about me. So it was quite nice to then see that it's actually not about me as well, and the space was one of the biggest parts of it. People just want to feel safe when they're getting a tattoo. It can be quite intimidating sometimes going into a studio setup or any kind of type of tattoo setup. You know, people go in and they're going to get their, you know, their little two dots that mean the world. The tattoo artist just laughs at them and kind of, oh, what a waste of time. How does that make the person feel that's receiving, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that good. Takes away from them completely. So the space is all about the people, you know. The people are the most important.
And we should mention, like, you say you don't use the conventional tattoo machinery tools. What do you actually use?
Yeah, so it's still tattoo needles. So yeah. There's two types of tattoo machines. We have a coil machine and then we have a cartridge machine. Cartridge is the new ones, and the coil machines use older needles. So I use the coil machine needles, and we essentially get the needle out, whatever size we use, depending on the time and stuff that we have. So at Raglan, because it's only for a day one, so I'll just be like, I'll be taping the needles to chopsticks and using that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the setup is very minimal. It's, it uses less plastic, so it's a lot more sustainable, which is a big part of me doing it this way as well, because a lot of the markings that I do are for, you know, Papatūānuku, are for Mother Earth. They're to represent our connection to these things, and then I'm kind of giving connection through these markings, and then just putting all this rubbish in the bin, you know, going straight into the earth. So I was kind of being a bit more wary of that. And now I see, yeah, with the setup that I got, the only plastic that I'm using at the moment is the cover for the needle, and everything else is compostable.
So I've been scrolling down your Instagram, and I've seen the flag with the queen on it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that because you're not just a tattoo artist, you do other forms of art?
Yeah, I do other forms as well.
Is that you doing that?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, should we talk about this? This is, it's not, I don't believe it's complimentary to the queen.
No, it's not complimentary. It was, but again, you know, my whakapapa, I'm also English, so people do kind of jump the gun when they see some of this imagery that I do.
Yeah.
For me, it's pretty simple. It is healing through my own traumas, through our intergenerational trauma, you know. I'm half caste. I'm holding on to both sides, lost in both sides in both cultures, but was raised Pākehā, like heavily.
Yeah.
Was raised to not like Māori, was raised to, you know, and so I've only been on my reconnecting to my whakapapa since my tattoo journey. So it hasn't been too long. So a lot of the times when I do my art, yeah, it's just trying to move forward with it. So there is a lot of people get offended, which is completely understandable, but they don't want to sit with me and have a conversation about why I did it. It's as simple as what you're doing right now. Not much people want to hear that. They just think, oh no, that's disgusting imagery, like you shouldn't be doing that. But
I should just try and describe briefly for people that it is a Union Jack flag, and the Queen is kind of pinned to the flag in the style of Jesus on the cross, and she's got a handbag in the usual Queen garb. And what is that above GSTQ?
So that's, you know, God Save the Queen.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know why I didn't work that out, but yeah. So I can see why some people, conservative folk, might have trouble with it. But what are you saying with it?
So it was really for me. They're like, when I start painting a lot of things, because usually when I paint something is when I'm, you know, feeling some way, and my brain is very, you might tell by my talking, it rambles a bit. My brain is very much like that. I can't really focus on one type of thing. So when I do something like this, it is very spare at the moment. Yeah. It is very just like, cool, what materials do I have around me? What can I use to paint? And kind of what is happening in my life at that time. And at that time when I painted it, it was sitting with my nana, my Pākehā nan on my mum's side, and just having her kind of tell me about why the royals are, you know, why the queen did what they do, and why we should still be under the monarchy. And I'm sitting there just after learning about the kingitanga, and it's like, oh God, I don't, I'm not too sure. So yeah, it just came from that. And honestly, a big part of it is just to spark conversation with other people, because I'm not a fan on social media. Like, I do it when I have to. So, you know, I'll post all my work, my beautiful work, get no attention. I'll post one thing like this, and wow.
Yeah.
Like, it goes crazy. So it's quite, sometimes it is just like experimental for me as well.
Yeah. So you weren't doing it with that intention.
Nah. And it was, all of this was done, like all of this was painted well before the Queen's death.
Right, okay.
People thought I painted it like just because she died, and it's like, well, nah. And again, it was just the cordial conversation that came out of it. I was just interested to see why people were so offended, and then if they are so offended, do they want to listen to why seeing the Queen on our note offends some people? Do they want to talk about, you know, why we're still under the royal, like, I completely get the sides of it. So it's just open corridor. That's what it is. It's not having to go at anyone. I'm not, I'm not trying to put down anything. It is simple, I guess wanting to have open conversations about it. And sometimes art is the best way to do that.
Mm. And it's certainly playing with the symbolism there.
Because I didn't know that it was St. George's Cross. And, until I posted it, and then someone said, yeah, it's because it's this, and... Oh, yeah, cool. So we're all learning here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Liam, we've come to the time for the end of my show. It's been really interesting talking to you, and there's actually lots more I wanted to ask about your journey and all, but we are out of time. But
no worries.
People, if people want to catch up with you and if they want to get a tattoo, you're going to be at the Creative Market. I think it's the Mother's Day Creative Market.
Yeah, it's the Mother's Day one. So I'll be doing a lot of markings to represent the connection to the mum and connection to father, which is the womb, so the health of us all. So this is all about the mamas, these markings that we'll be bringing across to the markets.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's, everyone, remind everyone, it's from 10 till 2 on Sunday at the Old School Arts Centre. And you will be, I guess you've got a, are you inside? Do you know where you're
going to
be?
I'm bringing my bell tent set up just in case the weather pulls through. But it's not, I'll be set up inside with everyone else. And it sounds like there's heaps of amazing products and food and creativity happening, so it'll be a good day.
It should be a good day. And for people who want to check out your stuff online right now, let's just remind them about that as well.
Yeah, cool. So if you want to check me out online, it's on Instagram, Whaitohu, WHAI.TOHU.
Okay, brilliant. Lovely talking to you this morning, Liam.
Yeah, you too, Aaron.
Thanks.
All right, cheers, mate. Yeah.
All right, folks, that was Liam Makawe there, and the Old School Arts Centre from 10 to 2, and I've just realised that Deb sent me a little bit of info about the markets, and now I'm just going to try and find it quickly on the computer here. And we've got the Paella Genius making Paella food, Miranda Cairns, Ruth Merriman, Kevin with his gems. We just talked about Liam. There's food stalls, Sandeem and his crew will be also making coffee machine, Napoli dumplings, that's what they do, yes. Morning Glory Cart will be there making coffee. The Waka Ama team still fundraising with hot soups, hot pies, soups and scones. And another newbie, Grace Caro, who will be testing her baking skills in the gallery. We've got three artist stall holders, and Rick and Liz will be there. Sylvia, Liz, Ian, Harley, Peanut Butter, PB23, Giannis will be there. Oh, Nick, Tony, Sula, B, Colleen, I can't quite remember who everyone is. Sandra, Jackie and Gail. So yeah, lots happening at the Old School, 10 o'clock on Sunday. And also lots of gigs, lots of music happening. Just talking about the Live and Local, that's if you're not into the Live and Local, there's about 3 or 4 other gigs on Friday night, so it's a big night here in Raglan. Hopefully get a few people out from Hamilton for that as well. Anyway, that's the end of the show for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. Hope to be talking art to wear and talking to Lisa Thompson, our councillor. I'll see you then.